Yeah, thanks for doing 407. I know that's not usually your episode.
You know what? I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
Are you upset?
I feel like we've discussed it to death. I mean, you guys know I'm the eighth episode of every season.
Right.
But what episode are we on right now?
It's the seventh.
Wow.
The seventh episode.
Wow. Are you really that upset about it? I mean, like...
I'm genuinely enraged.
Wow, okay. This is not going to... I feel like we shouldn't continue the episode knowing
Oh,
that.
No. We're going to have a great time. Oh. Let's just do it.
You okay. Don't...
La, 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 episode.
No, you don't la, la, now.
Festival of living art, Jamie,
not of pictures.
Pissed
oh
off.
Yeah,
oh yeah. That's why don't they do that?
Because it probably couldn't fit on TV Guide, and they didn't want to be Fiona Apple. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi,
and we are
the Gilmore Guys.
Yeah. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is. I'm going to say it, gang. It's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. You can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. They call it, in the episode, they never say the Festival of Living Art. They always say the Festival of Living Pictures, but I guess that wasn't as catchy.
I assumed
on the scripts or something.
It was going to be the kind of thing where Taylor goes, Festival of Living Pictures, and I'm like, but paintings aren't pictures. It's like, well, okay.
Who's saying that?
No, I just imagine
paintings are pictures.
Paintings aren't pictures, honey. Or like, I assumed it would be like Bat going.
Oh,
like,
okay.
But statues aren't pictures. Shouldn't it just be art? And he's like, okay, art.
Yeah, art actually does make more sense.
Right.
Guys, this is our first. Episode we're recording after, what are we calling it, Scott Patterson Gate 2015.
That suggests that
gate.
It was like a terrible
a
terrible tragedy.
It's not at all.
No,
quite the opposite. We had the lovely Scott Patterson on the show,
Scotty Pete,
and he dropped some information that people weren't privy to.
Yeah, him being Team Dean.
Yeah, that was the big scoop.
Right.
That was the one thing, like, so many headlines were like, Luke is Team Dean.
Right.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was, that's funny.
We should have asked him who you voted for, too, in real life. Damn it, Hillary.
He wrote in Mickey Mouse.
That is probably a regret I'll take to the grave, is that we didn't have him say, damn it, Taylor, in the interview.
Or Damn it, Kevin.
Damn it, Kevin. Yeah, we didn't have him do his classic catchphrase from Gilmore Girls.
We didn't have him record our voicemails.
Oh, that'd be insane. Hey, you've reached Kevin's phone. Leave a message, but cell phones aren't allowed in here.
Yeah,
something like that. So that'd be fun. So thanks for all the support and all the new listeners, the millions of new listeners we've gained.
7 million total.
We're up to 7 million total. But we got an epi up, just a regular epi up this week. 407. What?
Just a regular old.
Yeah. What? Oh, shitty. Does it sound like I'm devaluing?
No, I know that's not what you meant to do. It's just
usual.
Funny. We got a regular old back to business.
Well, you prefer the episodes, right?
Yeah. No, I'm just being an asshole.
Oh, but
it's
you,
fun.
You do prefer the episodes to the.
They're funner. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like in interviews, we're trying to have a conversation where it's like they feel comfortable and they're trying to, it's not as like riffy as we are here.
Right.
Yeah. and I live on the riffs.
Hey, we're little demons.
We are little demons. Call us that.
We're the little demons. Damn it, little demons. Let's get to our guest.
La la. La la. Hell yeah.
Special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, you've known him from appearances on this podcast, episode 108, episode 208. Episode 308.
All the eights, all the greats.
All the greats, all the eights. Until this one, ladies and gentlemen, it's Jamie Wood.
Hey!
Until
Jamie
this one.
Jamie Wood.
La la.
Hell great
yeah.
To be
la,
back.
La,
eight to be
Jamie.
Back.
Oh, man. It still stings.
Oh, boy.
What if we just pretend this is the eighth episode?
Okay.
Confuse all the listeners.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's do it.
That's the way to go.
Pull a trick.
I actually have a question.
Yeah.
The title of this episode is
The Festival of Living Art.
But then in the show you said they say Living
They say
Pictures?
The Festival of Living Pictures.
Yeah. Interesting. Gotcha. I didn't catch that. I was just reiterating. I'm sure there are a couple slow listeners out there that didn't put two and two
whoa.
Together.
Like
we're talking a little too fast.
Whoa. Really insulting our listeners.
No, I'm identifying.
Nah, we go ghillie speed.
Can I say something to you, Jamie?
Yes, please.
Your enthusiasm shocks me.
That's a quote from Buff Otis.
Buff Otis.
The greatest name.
Oh my gosh. Let's get into it. This is episode 407. The Festival of Living Art. Not pictures. Festival of Living Art.
Very confusing.
And the Netflix synopsis is Rory and Lorelai participate in a Stars Hollow event. Yep. In which the townspeople dress up and present tableaus imitating famous paintings.
Nice.
It's about right.
It's about right, although there is a statue.
That opening line sounds like it screams filler episode.
What? Oh, Rory and Lorelai participate in the town. Well, in a way, it doesn't advance any plot other than Suki goes into labor.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Every show has, you know, you got to have filler episodes.
You got Hillary Clinton in there. Yeah.
Hillary Clinton.
What?
Because this is filler.
Filling it. And now it's time for a segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the episode and put them together in a supercut and listen to them back. Oh, hell yeah. So this is episode 407.
Some jazzy little intro there.
I should do it like that every time. Episode 407, The Festival of Living Art, Pop Goes the Culture.
It's not Benny's fault.
Oh, God.
Dress him up like Angus Young in AC/DC, that schoolboy outfit.
You could have seen AC/DC with their original lead singer.
And 1980 is when that guy choked on his own vomit. That's old.
99 Luftballons, some REM, some Thompson Twins.
This is a violation of my civil rights.
You better do what John Ashcroft says or they may just follow us home.
Topical.
Bada bing, all over his nice Ivy League suit.
Who's hotter, Andrew McCarthy or Emilio Estevez?
They're both dogs.
You ready for your close-up, Miss Desmond?
In the country of our former ally, France.
I'm a Weeble, and Weeble's wobble.
Scott Joplin seemed appropriately sunny.
You guys watched the first two Matrixes on DVD together, too.
Is that Manet or Mooney?
I'll get so huge, I'll be the fat guy in Monty Python's Meaning of Life. I'll explode and slime the whole room. People could die.
An opening slot on a national tour with Quiet Riot.
Riot.
Reading.
I say we go celebrate. How about Shakey's? Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is one happy Christ.
I've already figured out that our spin cover should be against a blood-red backdrop with a skull hovering over us.
Oh, well, Barry Norman Rockwell.
Stevie Wonder could have seen it.
They got a little moisture over there and basically said, oh, well, whatever, never mind.
These guys are going to be as Nirvana. Good as Pink Floyd.
Nice topical reference.
Nice topical reference, says the guy two episodes ago that was saying, that's like that Jimmy Stewart movie. I'm looking for a sound. I'm looking for a sound, or whatever.
I was going to say, we got to get the sound clip of him going, nice topical reference, and just play that all the time.
Topical reference.
They drop another Shakey's mention.
Yeah.
And we talked about this last time, so I looked it up. There are no Shakey's in Connecticut.
Nope, that's what I was thinking.
Or even the East Coast.
At all?
No. Nice. There's one in Alabama, and that's the closest it gets.
That seems poorly researched. Yeah. Alabama is the closest it gets.
Like, I mean...
Well, in a lot of ways, Alabama is considered the Connecticut of the South.
So true. Oh, my gosh.
I thought that was weird, though, because I've never been to Shakey's, because I've only lived out here for, under a couple years now.
Yeah.
But the only time I've ever even seen it is that there's a Shakey's, like, what, a block or two from where we are right now?
Right.
Well, we're kind of giving away the location now.
No,
well,
there's, like, 1,000 Shakey's.
Yeah. And they have a block radius. It's not like we're, like, someone's going to drop a bomb on us.
Well, now that you said it, you jinxed it.
Oh,
you Robert Durst it.
Now we're getting the bomb.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, that was a Nirvana reference, right? Oh, well, never mind, whatever.
If it was, a very subtle... They were just like, we want him to say that phrase. I don't... Like, it's not a Nirvana reference.
The Taylor character is not referencing Nirvana. Right, they just want...
Yeah.
Which is a weird joke, right? Because it's like...
Because it's not a joke.
It's very fourth wall breaking, It's not really a joke, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
Because it really sticks out.
I did like Taylor just sticking it to that other dude that was there.
Oh, well.
When he was like,
whatever.
Hank...
They got a little moisture.
Yeah, someone suggested that they're ex-lovers, and this is all part of, like, a lover's quarrel.
I can see that.
Taylor
the jilted lover.
Yeah, Taylor from Stars Hollow, Hank from Woodbury, Stars Hollow crest lovers.
It's Pawnee Eagleton.
It really is. It's Pawnee Eagleton. It's Springville, Shelbyville.
Right. Yep.
It's, I'm sure there's another one.
There's tons.
There's two other towns, yeah.
No, I mean, there's another... example.
I know.
Hell, it's Stars Hollow, Hartford.
Yeah.
There
so this is a Paniel Daladino episode.
Ah, Paniel.
Hey. I love Paniel Daladino.
Panidino.
Panidino. In this episode, we meet...
There's nothing to do in this hick town. Not like back in Bogalusa.
Bogalusa.
Nick Offerman as Bo.
Oh,
yes.
Who is just, like, begrudgingly there the entire time.
Yeah. The actor,
yeah,
not the character.
Right.
The actor is
Nick Offerman texted us to say, hey, I hated this.
Demi, Kevin, I didn't have a good experience on this show.
And we were like, how'd you get our number?
And how am I speaking this instead of texting it to you? Let's just say I've caught up with the times. I'm going to cut all that out.
Are you?
No.
I was like, you can't now.
Yeah, that was a decent Offerman.
So this is, thank you.
A decent
Offerman. I accept your Offerman.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Did I make you an Offerman you can't refuse?
Wow.
Nick Offerman as Bo. And we talked, but we actually, I think we talked about it with Aisha. I mean, he comes back. He does come back.
He's
not recurring, but he comes back at least one or two more times. I would love to talk to him on the show.
Oh, boy.
About it. That'd be so funny. But Nick Offerman is such a slow, methodical actor. And on this show, it's like Paladino speaks. So it's so funny to see someone of such a different rhythm dropped into this world where they have to, like, go 90 miles an hour. And thankfully, the character is a little more lethargic in that.
I love in this episode how he acts like he's put upon the whole time. And he's constantly just loudly letting people know the hardships that he's facing.
Yeah.
in like a very complainy way.
Saturday, I get time and a half on Saturdays.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, that's, you know, that money won't be going in my wallet now.
Right.
And it's just like, I love when people do that, and I don't have to interact with them. so I guess, like, when I see people do that on TV, that's what I like.
Okay. Yeah.
I like when people complain, but not when it's, like, to me.
Right.
I liked it. What was that line where he was like, we're kicking the turnips, not picking them?
Yeah, it was like the cucumbers.
Picking the cucumbers.
He said, yeah, we're going to pick them.
You're such
them.
A city boy. Should have clipped that out. But overall, this is a great guest turn and a fun future star sighting.
I love Nick Offerman's little roles throughout, like the West Wing.
West Wing?
Another great one with like the Wolf Highway or whatever.
Yeah, and the Crackpots and These Women.
Yeah.
He was a recurring character on George Lopez, which is where I first saw him. And it's so weird.
Were you an avid watcher of that show?
Oh, yeah. It was on Nick at Night all the time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was like, hell yeah.
It came on after Friends like every single night.
Anyway.
That's the theme song?
Yeah. But like before Ron Swanson, he had such like short hair and like a buzz cut in every role. And on George Lopez, he's like this wacky sort of like high energy character. So seeing him do anything else after that is like, like he's Ron Swanson now forever and always. But it's like, I go back and see episodes of George Lopez. I'm like, that's not the same guy at all.
No.
Yeah.
Very different.
I always think it's really funny when your first introduction to an actor or actress is like a really small or terrible or insignificant role. Like if like there's a lot of kids now that you're just like, yeah, did you see, you know, Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro? And they're like, oh, the grandpa from like Meet the Fockers?
Yeah. Or,
you're like, no, like one of the greatest actors ever. They're like, no, you mean the grandpa from Meet the Parents?
Oh, the intern.
Like, oh my gosh.
Was he in the intern?
No, the intern is not the internship, I think you're thinking of.
Oh yeah.
The intern is in a movie coming out with Anne Hathaway and him.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks particularly bad.
I think it looks great.
You know what?
Is it
that
Anne?
Movie looks
yes, Anne.
Good. You don't Anne's see good feel-good stories like that coming out anymore.
She's a friend.
That's true.
Leave her alone.
What is that? Is that a quote from something?
I'm not sure.
I was like, I don't think that's a quote. I think you're just really
leave
passionate.
Leave her alone. Okay, so this episode, it's interesting to note,
yes,
is the only episode for which the show won an Emmy.
Really?
Won an Emmy for best non-prosthetic makeup for this episode.
Oh.
Which, by the way,
I didn't realize that was an Emmy.
Yep. It only takes up one act of the episode.
Right.
Yeah, so yeah. It's funny to give something an Emmy that amounts to 15 minutes or less of screen time.
They probably worked really hard on it, and they were just like, honestly, yeah, we're just going to submit it for this.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Well, and I got to say, I'm honored that you guys chose specifically to have me on for the only Emmy winning episode.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
what
why
happened.
We did that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
Yep.
Yeah,
this wasn't a reschedule.
Mm-mm.
No.
Because one of our other guests bailed.
I think I was actually bumped up. You guys were like, you know what? You're too good to be on the eighth episode of every season.
Yeah, because that one sucks.
No Emmy eights. That's what they call
it. We want you in lucky number 7.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, lucky number 7. Josh Hartnett, baby.
I had to move some things around. I had to cancel a meeting with Robert Redford, if he's still alive. And
Robert alive or Deadford?
Robert, if he's still alive, 2 years from now, meet me here.
He's still alive, hailing Hydra.
That's true.
Hail Hydra.
He's still alive somewhere, man. Sailing on that boat.
Oh, yeah. Lost at Sea. Is that what that's called? Lost at Sea?
I think it's All Is Lost.
All Is Lost. That was it, yeah.
Let's all get lost.
Let's get lost tonight.
Let's get
you
lost,
you can be my
baby.
Black Kate Moss tonight.
Da 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 da.
All of classic Robert Redford's swing covers of rap songs.
Of Kanye song. I ain't saying she's a gold digger. Ooh. Robert, no, don't say it. Don't say it.
It's okay. I can sing. That one's five Robert. Seconds long, and then you hear like, no, 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 no.
Robert. No.
Then some guy, they at least lean over there like, he sang the whole thing.
I feel like this episode is weird because it's a fan favorite.
Really?
But it is, but I don't think it's one of the best episodes.
Yeah, I didn't
I was
so
going
to
say, it's honestly, like, there's nothing wrong with it. What?
I thought you were about to get, like, really negative.
I was about to say, this is the worst episode.
Yeah, I thought you were about to be like, yo, seriously.
No, I was like thinking about it afterwards because I never like write down a rating and I get flushed at the end. So I'm like, okay, this time I'm going to write down a rating. I'm not going to say what I gave it, but I was like, there's nothing wrong with this episode, but it's not like it's not a hallmark to me.
I don't know why it's a fanfare. I guess just because there's a lot of towny action and there's some stuff that works, but a lot of the conflict in the show. What I like about a great episode of Gilmore Girls, and why I think a hallmark of it, is that it twists all those things together. It twists like the weird Kirk like subplots and him being Jesus with something like actually emotionally grounded. But in this, there's nothing emotionally grounding. It's all light, which is fun, but then it all becomes lightweight. Like Lorelai's like, I flinch. I'm a big fat flincher. And that being like the big crux of the episode, not the big crux, but I don't know. I guess there was stuff with Nicole and Luke, but it just
I
forgot all about that.
Yeah. I think that's probably why it's a fan favorite, though. I think most people probably, you know, like the casual TV viewer kind of prefers the like lighthearted, entertaining type thing as opposed to, you know, if someone's really invested in like TV and story and they want like all of the dramedy and all that kind of stuff. But it is, as far as filler episodes go, I think it's like a really, it's kind of a high mark for filler episodes. Because it wasn't like so laid back that it felt unimportant. But at the same time, like you said, it didn't really advance the story in most characters. But it was good. It was entertaining, reliable.
Reliable.
Kirk's storyline was really good.
Kirk's storyline was great. I mean,
so good.
There is the thing that gave me a big old gilly chuck. Is this line?
Judas. So where do I go for my fitting?
Oh, I think you know where you're going, pal.
Yeah.
I just loved how unabashedly mean he was. He was playing Method Jesus.
Yeah,
like,
it was awesome.
Oh my God.
Method, because Jesus was mad all the time.
Yeah, he was known for being real pissed off.
He flipping tables in the temple.
What do I have to do to get a fish and a loaf around here?
Damn it, Judas. Damn it, disciples. And then you get fun lines like,
"Oi to the bay.
Oi to the bay.
Oi to the bay."
So dramatic.
And now it's time for a segment we call, "Is this homophobic?"
I think I know what line.
Is this an actual segment? This is amazing.
Yeah,
we
here
have
we go.
Segments on that. Yeah.
I'll play the line.
That woman staring at me.
Oh, Mrs. Van Uppity? Well, maybe you're just her type.
I guess it's not homophobic.
So.
And then she actually calls it out.
I bet she's coming to.
Hey, and no more inappropriate lesbian references, please.
All right.
Yeah, I wrote that down, and my note is not homophobic. Still strange.
Yeah.
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 I feel like if they were go like, ugh, like if they went, ew, stop with the lesbian stuff, I'd be like, okay,
gross.
Well, I don't know. Calm down.
It seems like I agree. I don't think it's a homophobic comment. It seems like a mom comment.
Or
like
I
guess it's kinda
so.
Like it's like parent humor where like just saying like gay or lesbian
you.
Is like the punchline to a joke. Yeah, it's like where it's not like it's not mean spirited, it's just they don't have any good sense of like.
Well, we all know there's nothing funnier in the world than being gay. That's the most hilarious thing in the world.
George Carlin.
Let's be real.
Apparently.
George Carlin did two shows a night. He'd come out, and at the end of the show, he'd kiss a man, and the crowd would go nuts.
Oh, my gosh. People would lose their minds at that bit. That was
kiss
a classic
him,
bit.
Kiss him. He did it. He did the kiss.
Oh,
Carlin
man.
Carlin was such a genius.
And I get, okay, Rip. so it's not homophobic.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
it didn't seem ill-spirited.
All right. Then this has been a segment we call... Is this homophobic?
I love your apprehension to the title.
It's so weird that she calls an inappropriate lesbian reference, though, because they say way worse stuff to each other, especially in the next episode, which we'll get to.
Right. Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. Totally. Yeah, they're not sensitive young ladies as far as those things are concerned. And then here's something, actually, I'll pull from the Twitter Q&A.
Twitter Q&A.
So, well, it's not really a question, but Sarah
Twitter
from Twitter, she says, "As a female-centric feminist show, it blows my mind how anti-breastfeeding / natural childbirth Gilmore Girls is."
What?
It is interesting, though. I do feel like there's a reticence, like everything's gross. Like Sherry's C-section is gross, and everyone's grossed out by that. And then the home birth is gross, and you know, Davy slipping and sliding around on those plastic.
In their defense, though, all those things are gross.
I don't know how the show. Yo, real talk. Those are just babies.
Bodies are ooh.
Get them away from me. I think that it wouldn't. So the breastfeeding thing. I don't know how the show actually feels about it because it seems like they were portraying it like, isn't it funny how. Milo is like just disgusted.
God.
Yeah, that was so weird. But I don't know if it was anti-breastfeeding.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this is a sort of a case that I see a lot with TV that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. Excuse me. When people blame or people sort of lay the thoughts or opinions or quotes of a character from a show as like being the message of the show itself. Because I think there's a difference where, like, you know, if they have like Taylor say something in the show, then they're usually using him as like a voice box for like bad opinions or something. And it's not really, but I think a lot of people when they, you know, they catch stuff like that and, you know, if Taylor said something homophobic, they might be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe Gilmore Girls is homophobic or something. And I think a lot of people sort of equate a character speaking to like a show speaking.
Well, I think because Lorelai really does seem to be representative of Amy Sherman-Palladino a lot of times. People tend to go that way with this show. And I feel like because it's not just in this episode. It's in other episodes, too, where it's like women are disgusting. is an opinion represented by the show.
Although I feel like since she doesn't ever try to convince her not to do the home birth, it's not explicitly like, oh, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
As much as it's just like, oh, okay. And honestly, part of me with regards to home birth, just in the way that they describe it as like, Davey slipping on out and getting caught by the catcher, I'm just like, that's gross. Don't describe it as like passing your baby off to third or something.
Well, and it's obviously not, they don't have like a top dollar setup going on. Like they literally, they just like, we got a plastic sheet and we put it on the bed. It's like, maybe
it's
you
not
should go to like
baby care.
Maybe you should go to the hospital. Like I heard they have sterile equipment and stuff there.
Baby's first words are going to be, wee!
Catch me!
Wee! Steal home!
Wow! Speaking of gross, here, I need to talk about something because I was real... I just need to talk about something.
Yeah. Yep.
So when Suki goes over to Lorelai's house and has one of her classic Suki freaks outs.
Freaks outs.
It's like dancing. Surgeons General. Yeah, she's dancing. She says bouncy San Pedro at one point. Lorelai does. I didn't understand what that was, so I didn't put it in pop culture. But
bouncy San Pedro.
So at one point she says, oh, what if, like, how long is Davey going to stay in me? I want the baby out of me, blah, 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 blah. And then she drops this little piece of information.
You know, an elephant squirted me once at the zoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was, I did find this a curveball watching it. I was like,
An
what?
Elephant squirted me at the zoo.
Yeah. First of all.
Wait.
How close were you to the elephant?
Was it water?
I think so. Wait, I didn't get anything wrong with this line.
No, but like, because the thing is, like, she thinks the reason her gestation period might be longer is because she was accidentally sprayed by an elephant and some of the elephant gestational makeup got into her.
I'm saying, did an elephant...
Yeah, like, it's like, what?
No.
Did an elephant...
No, an elephant did not...
Kevin.
God, I don't even want... Ugh.
I'm just saying...
Children,
Kevin's just like, but did the...
Hey, kids, go ahead and hit that 15 seconds forward button. An elephant did not on her, okay? God, Kevin.
15 seconds
I'm
forward.
So sorry, kids. If you're listening to this, you've hit the 15 seconds forward button.
Okay, I just wanted to know. So it was water.
I thought the same thing, though. I was like, you're not...
Kids, I'm sorry that you hit the 15 seconds and immediately heard the word
What if we count? It's like 10, 9, 8, 7,
it's 9.
6, 5, 4, 3.
Wait, 10, why are we counting?
1.
That's why.
No, I don't think that happened.
I didn't even think of that. I just assumed it was like, you know how elephants sometimes at the zoo, they'll suck up water and squirt it.
Yeah. But then I think that's like what obviously probably happened. But then it sort of
when
makes
it has
you wonder.
To do with
it's like
birth.
Why? Yeah, it's like
and gestation,
gestational fluid.
Look,
something.
She's got baby crazy mind. You know how ladies be.
Oh yeah, they can't taste food. That's true. That's a thing.
They
from
can't
the
taste
show.
Food. They can't handle making food for kids.
Yeah,
that's true.
They make jalapeno chipotle mac and cheese, which sounds really good.
Yeah, that sounds amazing right now.
Yeah,
but not for kids.
Yeah, no, kids hate Chipotle.
Kids can't handle it.
Here's a Twitter question from Chris Walkinshaw. This actually, I think it's from Facebook.
Christopher Walkinshaw?
Wow. They say, here's
Well, it's Christopher Walken, so we have to do it.
Okay. Chris, no, I can't. No. I'm not Kevin Pollak. You know why? Because I'm not going to take an interesting thing and ruin it with my impressions.
Oh,
Chris,
wow. Kevin Pollak's never coming on the show.
Wow.
Chris, that's fine. Chris Walkinshaw says, how are you serving the baby? Is the question.
Ooh.
What?
That's a good question. Yeah.
How are you serving the baby?
We have to do what we can.
What do you mean serving the baby?
Remember Bruce? This is kind of an intro to talking about Bruce. How are you serving
the
baby?
He's referencing
the
show Gilmore Girls.
Right.
Yeah. The question.
It's an episode we watched.
Did we?
In preparation of
I did.
Today.
Have you guys been watching them?
Have you just been reading about it?
Yeah, I read the transcripts.
Oh.
Oh, interesting. Well, then you would have read that line.
Buddy, I skip around sometimes. You can't read every word.
All right, okay.
There's a lot of ands and thes. It's like, come on.
He skims like the opening page and the closing page, and he's like, all right, cool.
Oh, Sig's pregnant. Hey, why are they running?
Yeah.
Why are they in paint?
Why is she worried about flinching?
Yeah, so
this is all on the last page.
So Bruce is the weird midwife. I couldn't place the actress. I didn't look her
Yeah,
right.
She did look
Rusty
familiar.
Rusty Schwimmer.
Though. Is it Rusty Schwimmer?
Yeah.
And what is she in?
I feel awful.
Is she any relation to David Schwimmer?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Do you wish Bruce had been played by David Schwimmer?
Yeah.
Are you just trying to plug your podcast?
How are you serving the bait?
Hey, best of friends on iTunes. Blah, blah, blah. Tune in.
Blah, blah, blah.
Wednesdays at any time because it's iTunes.
She is famous for
The Guardian.
Yep.
She's her most prominent
for
role.
The Guardian, as we all have seen.
Of the Galaxy?
Nope.
Nope.
That was Chris Pratt.
Oh, she's a big 90s lady, it looks like. She's in Twister, EdTV, Amistad.
She was in an episode of Ally McBeal.
Amistad?
Yeah. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Married with Children, ER, X-Files. Yeah, she seems like a pretty successful
character
actress.
Amistad.
We all stud.
You know what? Here's where I and probably some of your other listeners know her from is she played Louie's sister on Louie.
Oh.
The one in the pregnancy episode.
Rusty.
Oh man, so she plays the over-the-top midwife who also comes back in the next episode.
Should we answer how we're serving the baby?
Yeah.
Well, me, I'm serving the baby just by being there for it, for old Davey, and telling him he's got a stupid name, so he's used to being bullied when he gets to school.
How are you serving the baby, Jamie?
By being flexible. I think, sometimes babies want you, if babies have like a...
Sometimes babies want you.
If babies have a podcast, sometimes they're like, oh, be on like this numbered episode every season of my podcast. But then sometimes they want you to be on like a different one, like say like 7 instead of 8 or something. And then you just got to be like, you know what? I can be flexible for a baby.
It's a pretty good example.
Like that.
Are you saying we're babies?
How would I be saying that?
Okay, here's how I'm serving the baby. I'm going to be a good listener. I'm going to be there for the baby because listening is half of communicating. And not just hearing, but listening.
Man.
And understanding, Davey.
Nice. This just became like NPR.
Yeah. Act one. You know what I found out the other day? I told Demi. You know who's a huge gilly?
Yeah.
No bid zone? Ira Glass.
What?
Ira Glass is a huge gilly.
Damn. Got the glass man.
So, Stars Hollow out to Ira Glass.
Glass on Gilmore.
Act one. Hashtag glass on Gilmore.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it out there.
Also, I've changed my mind. I'm serving that baby with a side of rice.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now I get it.
Now I had to do it the second time.
The second horn really clued me into what you were doing there.
Bazinga. I like it.
Bazinga. Is that Bing Bong Theory?
Welcome to the Bing Bong Boys.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well,
That's a fancy book.
Thank you.
I like it.
I'm holding up the Gilmore Girls Companion by A.S. Berman.
It literally is a Texas...
It's a Texas history textbook, yeah. It looks like.
In Texas, but at this point, it probably is.
Hell yeah.
Shots fired.
At ATX, it will be.
Uh-oh.
But...
No, it's... I was like, you're... plugging ATX, and I was like, uh-oh.
Will this episode be coming out the week of ATX? I think it will be.
Oh,
actually.
Wow.
If you're listening to this, we're in Austin.
Hey, baby. Sorry.
Please avoid Kevin on the streets if you see him. He
Don't
might approach
let Kevin
you
come near you.
With 70s pickup lines.
Hey, baby.
Hey, baby. Okay, so this is just a little behind-the-scenes snippet from the book that might also help our understanding of the show. I've never been to it, talking about the actual Festival of Living Art, which is a thing that happens in Laguna Beach.
Oh.
Which is called Pageant of the Masters in Laguna Beach.
Like on Arrested Development?
Yeah, it is. It's like the same thing on Arrested Development.
Yeah.
That was the first time I watched it, I was just like, oh, cool, so... They're ripping off Arrested Development. Even though Arrested Development came later, but I was still like,
did it come later, though?
Oh, no. Actually, I think they were the
same
year.
Same season.
Ooh,
yeah, I looked it up. Oh, man, that was nuts.
So it must have been parallel Parkinson's disease.
That or, like, what I hope happened is, like, someone worked on Gilmore Girls. They worked on this episode. They like made it the focus. Then they left. They got a job at Arrested Development, and their first day they're like, "What do you got?" And they're like, "A festival of living art." And then and it was like the same person
in the entire
shows.
Production time. They're just going, "Oh boy, I hope ours comes out first."
Okay, so Michael Winters, who plays Taylor, says, "I've never been to him mainly because of the parking down there so terrible."
That's anything in California.
I don't
California.
Know why this needed to be in the book.
That's so Taylor of him. I never been. I tried going once, but the parking was so terrible, I just couldn't stay.
But apparently it's really amazing. Michael Winters, who is one of the many cast and crew, run through the ringer during the making of this episode. He says, "I had to do all the introductions, which had a lot of Italian painters' names in them. They shot it at night, of course. They got to the end of the night, and it was my turn. I had sat around in a tux all night long. Then I had to get up and do all those intros. The director was very nice, and he said, 'I don't want to pressure you or anything, but in about 10 minutes, the sun is going to be shining on your face, and we have to be finished.' So I had to do 6 or 7 of them right after the other, one right after the other at 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that, just hanging on for dear life." Winters wasn't the only one. Valerie Campbell, normally just responsible for making sure all the outfits looked right, somehow ended up with the additional task of arranging the actors in precisely the right position so they matched the works of art they mimicked. It was a hard episode, but it was fun, she says. Talks about Mike Gandolfi, who plays Andrew. They made him wait around all night. He couldn't put on anything because he had all that makeup on. He was freezing his ass off. He said it was retribution. And then in parentheses, it says he and Amy were really good friends. Michael had taken Amy to... Okay.
Until this episode.
Well, this is funny. Michael had taken Amy to one of those yoga classes where they crank the heat up really high.
Welcome to Yes.
He said she made me freeze outside basically wearing nothing because of that yoga class.
Oh my God.
Because of hot yoga. And then Sean Gunn, perhaps the person with the most memorable scenes in the episode, really enjoyed the whole Kirk is Jesus riff. The Jesus stuff was fun, although the makeup was such a nightmare. It is a blast to play those scenes. Another one, when I go back and watch it again, I feel like almost all of it really works.
Kirk's a whole "you would fold to hardship" thing.
It's so fun.
So, and then when they see people crowding around him, I was like,
let him talk.
Yeah. I was really hoping he'd have, like, stigmata in his hands by the end of the episode or something.
Stigmata?
He'd just, like, really get into it. Like, you'd see, he'd be like, "Kirk, why are you so wet?" It's like, "I was trying to walk across the lake and I fell on the pole," or something like that.
It'd be funny if this was just, like, the rest of Kirk's storyline for, like, the rest of the show is, like, following this, Jesus. He thinks he's Jesus.
Yeah.
Lorelai. Well, oh, also, speaking of Kirk... Guess what happens to Kirk in this episode? Officially, as of this episode.
Excuse me, can my girlfriend and I sit here? This is my girlfriend.
Hi.
Hi.
My girlfriend and I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
Got a pretty polite girlfriend. He said nothing to me or my girlfriend. Me and my girlfriend can't either. Hey, Lane, there's a seat behind my girlfriend. My girlfriend was wondering that, too. My girlfriend's gonna love this.
Weird. So are they, like, official or what?
No. Not on Facebook, they're not.
Oh.
I think they like each other.
Right.
So Lulu is officially in. As Kirk's little girlfriend.
The celebrity couple known as Luke.
That doesn't make... It would be Lurk.
Well, it's Lou Kirk to me.
Lou Kirk.
It's still Lou Kirk to me.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo. Oh, also, yeah. Speaking of Jesus.
The Last Supper cannot be funky.
The Last Supper cannot be... Oh, God, I love that.
Taylor is, like, firing at all Taylor cylinders.
Yeah, he's at his most dosiest.
Is it the highest dose?
He's at maximum dosage. Oh, man. And then, of course, guys, we meet...
I'm Gil!
Yes!
Fucking love Gil.
That sound clip sounds like... It reminds me of Poochie.
Yeah. I'm Gil!
I'm Poochie.
I have to go. My planet needs me.
That's how Sebastian Bach better leave if he has to go on tour.
I'm Gil! Yeah, so
Gil
Sebastian
died on the way back to his home planet.
Sebastian Bach, former lead singer for the rock band Skid Row.
Me on Gilmore Girls. It's so wrong. It's right.
Wow.
That's who that is?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so bad at like any, because we've run into this on Friends too, is like they have a lot of like random like musicians from like the 80s and 90s guest star. Mm-hmm. I pick up on almost none of them until people are like, oh, that's so-and-so. And I was like, oh, nice. I've never... like seen or heard that person before, but they were like big when the show was on.
If we hadn't talked about it leading up to this episode, I would have never known. I would have been like, yeah, I guess that's somebody, because that, what a weird casting. Mm-hmm. But it's so, I looked up his IMDb because I was like, oh, has he done other acting things before this? He plays himself in anything he does. He, like, this is just...
Which he basically is in this.
Right, but it's, like, it's so weird that he was a recurring, like, star on this show.
Yeah.
When before this, it's really... Like, they were just like, hey, you want to act recurringly in Gilmore Girls, you heavy metal singer? It's like, yeah, okay.
It's interesting, too, because it's, like, after this episode, kind of, it's such a small part.
Like, I wouldn't say that.
But, I mean, he's, you know what I'm saying. I guess for a celebrity who's going to be recurring on a show.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. I just meant it's interesting that, you know, some of his stature would be in, you know, where Gil's in maybe like 5 minutes an episode.
I wonder if it was the thing where it's like if he has children, one of his daughters was into the show. Yeah. I don't know. We should have asked Mara and Jamie about that, about how they cast
him. We'll
get
Sebastian on the show and ask him.
Well, yeah, we will, probably.
Either way, he's awesome. I love Gil.
So fun. Much.
He was great. He did a great job.
And it's one of those perfect Stars Hollow characters in which they're so weird, but not in an off-putting way.
Yeah.
And there's like a good foundational reason to like them. Like, he's just like the most positive dude who's like old. He's like 40-something. They're like, which I found all of them to be like, dude, you're old. Like, Zach's like real uppityness about it to be off-putting. Yeah, yeah, he's a little dicky about it.
Little dicky.
Yeah, you've heard of Little Nicky with Adam Sandler. Well, you know what? Zach was being a little dicky.
Lil Dicky's also a rapper.
Yeah, he is.
Really?
Yeah, he's funny. He's a comedy rapper.
I'm not a big fan of him, but
he's okay.
Rippity rap.
Shouts out.
Hip hop. Zippity zap.
Yo, my name is Demi, and I'm here to say.
Flippy Flubbles.
I love that he has a wife and children who love him.
When
that moment, that was probably my favorite part of the show, when he says,
honey, kids, I'm in the band!
I love how excited they are that he's playing with teenagers.
Oh, I love it so much. That's like a perfect characterization.
And the fact that he owns a sandwich shop is just
so funny.
Stacy, it's me when I'm gone, or whatever.
That's a pretty good Gil.
So good.
Seriously, for being like a heavy metal rocker, he plays this character of like...
Yeah.
Like, it seems like he's just a guy who is acting as a, like, it doesn't feel like he's bringing it down at all.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah.
He should have gotten the Emmy.
Yeah, really. Give the makeup Emmy to him.
Imagine. Take the makeup Emmy.
4 seasons of working hard on a show, and none of them get Emmys. Sebastian Bach comes in, and they're like, and the Emmy goes to Sebastian Bach, and everyone else on the crew is like, are you fucking kidding me? Me, yes. An Emmy for a TV show. It's so wrong, it's right.
Honey, kids, I got the Emmy.
They all come up on stage. Like, okay, but you're going back to music, right?
And they do so many fun songs. And apparently he's a little beefcake, according to some people.
Well, I got dibs on the new hunk.
Yikes.
Yum, yum, like a long-haired cake.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. Like a long-haired cake.
As opposed to all the short-haired cakes.
Right.
Like a long-haired cake.
That's what Nick Offerman is. Buzzcut cake.
Nice.
Yum yum, like a long-haired cake.
It sounds like rah rah, like a Dungeon Dragon.
Yeah. To me, it sounds like bang bang.
Yum yum, like
into
a
the room.
I know you want it.
Yum yum, like
into the room.
Well, that's another remix I have to make.
Everybody wants to eat some cake. Yeah. Everybody wants to eat some long-haired cake. Yum, yum, man.
Gil is also...
Well, I bet
Oh,
she...
sorry.
Hey!
Damn it, Kevin. Gil's also pretty good at guitar for a person who does not play guitar in real life.
Like, he doesn't play guitar in real life?
No, he's just a vocalist.
But
I looked it up.
He doesn't also know how to play guitar? Or...
According to his Wikipedia, he never plays guitar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks like he was the one actually shredding
right.
on the show.
Like, it didn't look faked at all.
No.
I think... Okay, so Keiko actually plays drums.
Right.
I think the guy, Todd Lowe, who plays Zach, does not play guitar. Or no, he does. He does play
John
guitar.
John Cabrera doesn't play bass.
John Cabrera doesn't play bass. He sings along with Dave Rogowski, real-life husband of Alan Pye, real-life Lane Kim.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
I hope they get back together. Happy Alien.
Oh, I was like, who's
not
the...
Helen and Dave.
I was like,
wait, what?
Oh, we need to talk.
You've been texting.
Yeah.
No.
Because they were tweeting and Instagramming pictures of them together. Without Sebastian, because he's on tour.
Yeah.
Although there's some pictures with him, too.
That's so cool.
It's funny. A friend of the show, Allie Gertz, hosted a show the other night where she had music by a guy whose band name is Sebastian A. Bach. And it's a completely different person.
That's Sebastian weird. A. Bach?
Mm-hmm.
Like A, the middle initial is A?
Yeah.
Like that's a person's name or the band name?
Both, I think. Well, it's like the person probably records all the music, but when he plays live, it's the band. Anyway.
Okay, so that's interesting. More Twitter Q&A. Would you have voted Gil into the band? That's what Barrett Henriksen asks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, me
fucking
too.
Yeah, I would have made Gil the band.
I would have been like, honestly, you guys need to step it up because Gil is
Gil's
better
so
than all
better
of you.
So much better than you.
Would have kicked out that annoying lead singer and stuck in Gil.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is, of course, due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Becky Crowley asks, or Crawl.
Becky.
Becky, baby. What living art piece would you guys want to be if you could choose?
Boy with Apple. Wait, no. That's the painting from Grand Budapest Hotel.
isn't it fictional?
It's literally made for the movie. What I meant is Rene Magritte's The Treachery of Images, the one where the apple is in front of the face.
Nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that like the cover of the book Twilight?
Yes.
Yes. I want to be that, so I can just hold an apple and be out of frame. Like.
Which is also like the cover of every other devotional book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My living art would be just a picture of the sun.
Nice, nice.
Where it's like, I don't have to do this. It's my back. I painted it yellow.
Mine would be the scream. What is it?
That's what I was going to say.
Really?
Oh, son of a bee.
She's like, ah!
But
I'm actually screaming the whole time.
Now presenting Monet's The Scream.
Monet didn't paint this.
Wait, who was it again?
I don't know. It might have been.
It's like Edward something.
Yeah.
Well, don't tweet it at us. We'll Google.
The weirdest thing I thought about this, which I'm glad this kind of brought it up again, is I cannot imagine sitting through a festival like that. Like, it seems so dull.
The appeal after the first 10 seconds of each piece is lost.
I think it would be cool if it's like they walk on the stage and then become the images. I'd be like, whoa.
You want to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah, I want to see them walk
the making of.
But when it's like they just open the curtains and then it's there, it's like, okay, you guys are being real still. That's cool.
Or like Taylor's talking during them doing it rather than before. Mm-hmm. So it's not just talking, you're seeing nothing, you see something and then talking again.
I need stimulation for my eyes and my ears.
And my, well...
Plus the whoa, what keeps you from just using mannequins and just fucking knocking it out of the park?
Oh, you know someone's knocking it out of the park.
You don't have to worry about flinchers if you just load up some mannequins.
Well, you know who Lorelai's favorite movie director is.
I do.
David Fincher.
Ah. Woo! You know what he
made? Down, girl.
Seven.
Oh, shoot.
Much like the episode I've now been relegated to.
I hope he does a sequel
relegated.
Called Eight. By the way, I just want to quickly correct myself. The painting with the apple in front of the face is Son of Man. Treachery of Images is the one where it's the Sissy Nipon pipe. With the painting of the pipe where it's like, this isn't a pipe.
Yeah.
I just, because I know, I just don't want people to tweet that at us.
Yeah. You guys have a lot of art history fans.
That we do.
Well, we just have a lot of people who are smarter than us, truth be told.
That's very true.
Listen to
a
the
lot
show.
Of people who are like, I would have Googled that before I said it. And we're like, no research.
Where'd my notes go?
Where'd them notes at? Leave it in. Leave it in.
Well, now we're going to cut it because you said that. No. So the first scene, she's clipping coupons, and then Lane walks in and wordlessly waterboards herself in the sink.
That was so random.
Yeah.
I was just like, is this really how the cult... Oh yeah, it's going to end like this.
I just Lane wordlessly waterboards
herself. The only thing missing was her putting like a rag over her face and just being like, ah.
When you started saying that, it made me think you were like almost going to go into like a V for Vendetta, like wordlessly waterboard warped with the warming womp. And it's like, you know,
oh, wow. Wordlessly waterboarding a woman in the ways of a. No, I
the weebles yeah, wobble, yeah. The wobbles weeble.
Verily vexed. I don't know enough words that start with W.
But you know what? Every senior I knew in high school knew that dumb V for Vendetta monologue.
Damn right they did.
Voila.
Guys, we're dating ourselves here. High school.
Wait.
V for Vendetta.
Wait, what class were you, actually?
High school? 2008.
Oh.
Not 2007.
2006. Oh, 2008. Demi's getting a call from his dad.
I'm
right
not
now.
Picking it up, but oh, yes, my no. dad is calling.
Demi just hung up on his dad.
Yo, sometimes you gotta.
Did you like...
Father.
Did you like when someone asked Taylor what...
Oh, no. What's happening?
Someone asked Taylor what his favorite Bare Naked Lady song was, and he said...
1 week.
Yeah!
Oh,
it's been...
It's been...
It's been...
1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head on the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me. You sang, get that together, come back to see me. If 3 days in the living room. I realize it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you yesterday you've forgiven me. And it'll still make tonight, so I'd say I'm sorry. Hold it, now I want the... Hold it, now I want the hoodwink.
Isn't that dude in the show?
Hoodwinked?
Wait, Bare Naked Ladies?
Yeah.
No, they're in West Wing.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Who do they play in West Wing?
Themselves.
Oh.
Yeah. Episode 402, College Kids.
I really wish they'd like played like advisors or something.
That'll be coming up soon on The West Wingman.
Mr. President, it's been 1 week since your last briefing. We really need to catch you up.
It's been...
Vote Bartlett.
Oh, God. It's Ben.
Wait, what's the name of that guy who plays...
Ben.
I'm forgetting his name. He's on Parks and Recreation. He plays John Ralphio.
Oh, right. He's also in House of Lies.
Ben Schwartz? Oh, did I...
It's Ben.
Oh, no. Oh, that was embarrassing.
What's that thing that you, if you have to throw trash away, you put it in this. It's like a like some sort of a
recycle bin.
That's what it is.
Okay,
it's a,
yeah, cool.
It's a bin.
Wait, what about the that guy who was in Sexy Beast? His last name's Kingsley, I want to say.
What was that? I can't remember.
It's Ben.
Who do you think is more talented? Is it Matt Damon or Ben Affleck?
Dude, we
all know. I
know
the answer to that. Oh, no.
It's Ben.
Fucking right.
Since we're talking about the West Wing, I'm blanking on this. Who was the guy who was leader of Al Qaeda, mastermind behind 9/11 attacks? I can't remember the name for the life of me.
Osama something Laden.
Yeah, what was the middle name?
Well, actually,
it's Ben.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's what it was. By the way, I'm pretty sure
that is a brilliant bit. I love that.
I think DJ Doug Pound does this bit.
Really?
Yeah, because I did a Vine like that, the It's Been thing, and a ton of people messaged me to be like, it's a ripoff of DJ Doug Pound. I was like, I'm sorry.
It is?
Like, DJ Doug Pound does a thing where he's like, yo, everyone in the club, like, let me know who, like, what's that guy? Like, he says something where the answer is Ben, and he played. We're not ripping off his bit, but.
Well, we are now that we know it.
Now that I've said
we're
this.
We're continuing.
I just want to plug him because he's a very funny comedian.
Yes. DJ Doggy Style. What's his name?
Doug Pound.
DJ Doug Pound.
Doug Pound.
DJ Doggy Style.
I want to see that guy.
What club are you going to, Kevin?
Not the right one.
He's going to a club where elephants squirt on him.
Hey!
Oh, gosh.
Also known as a zoo. Also known as a zoo.
As a Republican National Convention.
John Ashcroft reference.
John Ashcroft. I know they.
Oh, that dated it so hard.
This is the season where they love sticking it to Republicans and super edgy.
We're edgy. Welcome to Connecticut.
Yeah,
we're politically active.
Hell yeah. What else do we need to talk about? Nicole wants to postpone the divorce.
Hey,
that seems like not a good idea.
It seems like she renewed a contract for the show.
Although her hair, actually, let's get into fashion.
Fashion.
Nicole does look good. She got a new haircut.
Yup.
But she got a new haircut. She's a little blondie bear now.
She's not Stars Hollow pretty, though. She's Big City Pretty.
Big City Pretty.
Big City Pretty Pretty.
That sounds like a...
Also the name of my band. Found us on iTunes.
It sounds like a TV show where it's like, a country girl moves to the city.
Heart of Dixie.
Yeah.
Big City Pretty. Heart of Dixie.
R.I.P.
It could be a subtitle. Heart of Dixie. I know. Also use the same backlot as a show.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the only reason I even knew it was still on the air was because I saw their golf carts on the lot all the time.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's
Jamie,
still a
we
show.
Get it. You work on a lot.
No.
He works on a lot of crap is what it is.
Whoa. I didn't come here to get insulted.
Lorelai has
Then why did you
know? Lorelai has a teeny tiny scarf at one point that looks like a skinny tie.
Yeah.
And it's like rainbow stripes.
Her scarves only come in the sizes of like crazy long or crazy small.
They're decorative at best.
It's
They're
ascot.
Doing nothing to warm her neck.
Yeah.
Not serving the scarf function.
She's also got a cowboy button-up thing going on at some point in the first act, I want to say. First or second act.
Rory has also got a button-up thing going on, but it's like a button-up with a weird logo on it that looks like it reminds me of messing with Photoshop brushes in like middle school. Like a DeviantArt logo or something. It's so weird. Lulu and Kirk have the same hairstyle.
Oh my gosh.
And it's adorable on both.
Well, that kind of makes sense, though.
Yeah.
You're attracted to what you look like.
Right, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Everyone is attracted to what they look like.
Do you think it'd be wrong for me to be attracted to a redhead?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Oh.
You say yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I feel like it'd be a little much.
A little much?
What?
But what if, say Jessica Chastain is walking down the street.
There
and
she
says,
was,
so you...
just a walking down the street.
No, I'm just saying, Jessica Chastain's walking down the street. She says, I don't usually do this. Are you Kevin from Gilmore Guys?
Oh, my god!
And then, we hit it off. We get a coffee.
You get a zero dark flirty.
We get super zero dark flirty.
Oh, my gosh.
And the date's going stellar. Interstellar.
It's at its crimson
peak. Already.
Yeah.
Don't stop doing that.
You say that's against the rules, against God's law.
Oh, okay, here's the thing.
It's part of a most violent year.
Oh,
I'm going to pull up her IMDb real quick.
No. I think there's an obvious exception for celebrity. That's I think that's okay.
What?
No, I'm not saying they for dye their celebrity. Hair so often. I'm just saying for any attractive young lady. Anyway, yeah.
Look, when I started down this road, I was just trying to be antagonistic, but now I'm going to die on this hill.
And, buddy, you planted a seed, now yeah. You got to grow this tree of life.
Hey!
No!
Wait, where did I plant a seed?
The help.
Okay.
You're not being the help. Right now,
you're no the help. Right now,
you are not.
I don't mean that. You're in not a bad way, Demi.
Whoa!
Oh, mama!
Come on, she was awesome.
Oh, mama!
Oh, mama!
Oh boy!
Oh, good shit.
So yeah, Lulu and Kirk are trying to do each other.
That makes sense.
They do have the same haircut.
Lawless.
Okay.
The kid from Even Stevens movie?
Yeah. Yeah. The kid from Ethan.
I blanked.
Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, thank you. I blanked on Shia LaBeouf.
I wish he was still known as the kid from
The Kid Stevens. From Even Stevens and Nymphomaniac.
Christy Carlson Romano. That...
Right.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. It's Ren.
No, not.
It's Ren.
Not Cadet Kelly.
Oh my God.
Cadet Kelly.
Let's just have a Shout podcast.
Was that Hillary
watch...
Duff?
And her. And Romano,
guys, let's just do a podcast where I don't even want to pitch this on air because I kind of want to do it.
What?
Where we watch Disney Channel original movies.
That's what someone's doing.
Zach Keltzel.
Oh, really?
Doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach's
okay.
doing it.
Well, shout out to Zach Keltzel.
It's a Zetus La podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, way better than anything I could ever
yeah,
come
just,
up with.
Yeah, just hit him up. He's looking for people to commit to different movies.
Really?
Yeah, I'm doing Xenon.
I will, ooh. Zach, if you're listening to this, I'll take Tiger Cruise.
Yeah.
Because no
you're
one
the
else
only
will.
One. Exactly.
I'm Alley Cat Strike or nothing.
Oh, yes. That's
I'm
a
playing,
good one.
I'm playing
that
hardball.
That was a classic. That was like
boom, right
seven,
down the
ten,
middle.
Split.
Boom. Right down the, or the Phantom of the Multiplex, Mickey Rooney's only
Phantom
Disney Channel
Megaplex.
Movie. Oh, Megaplex.
Oh, I thought you said Mickey Rourke. I was like, what?
Yeah.
I'm going to wrestle these Phantoms. You want me to take these Phantoms down?
I'm going to play these Phantoms country music.
Oh, boy.
I've built my own Iron Man suit.
Love Rory's sweater. Taylor looks pretty good in a tux.
Love Rory. There's very little Rory in this episode. It's interesting.
Yeah. She's very sliding.
Yeah.
Someone asked, actually, is that it for the fashion report?
I don't think so. Already talked about Offerman's haircut. They have so this isn't really fashion because it's more of just furniture, but there's a couch that, Suki is sitting on. It's like a striped blue and white couch in her living room. It feels so wrong for that place. It feels like a beachy sort of like summer home couch, and it's just like
it's in her home.
Yeah, it's the couch that she has to lay down on that Bruce makes her lay down on.
I didn't notice that. That didn't jump out to me.
It jumped out to me for some reason. I don't. It's not awful, but it just for some reason jumped out to me.
Demi's real sensitive to couches.
You gotta have a good couch. Yeah. If I gotta be looking at that, buddy.
Pal, come on.
Come on with the couch stuff.
Bud Migo. Step up the couch game.
Sebastian, when introduced, is wearing a denim jacket and like denim bell bottoms.
Yes.
I love it.
He denim does. On denim for
denim on,
life.
Denim on, denim on, denim.
He looks like a hippie cowboy. Jackson has a second shirt. Where it looks like the optical illusion where you see a gray dot in the crosshairs.
Yes.
And it was messing with my eyes. I was like,
in my mind.
I was like,
he
I don't
didn't
know.
Watch the rest
Jackson,
of the episode.
I didn't. That's when the whole painting stuff, I didn't see it. No.
He read the transcripts.
Kirk's hair, when he's Jesus, looks like the lead singer of The Darkness.
Yeah, it was real stiff when he was Jesus,
yeah,
right?
It was,
yeah, it's
like
really
everyone's
weird.
Hair was like super like matted down.
They watched it in starch or something.
Yeah.
And that's all. Lane has like really fuzzy hair for one scene.
Nice.
The audition scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so weird. They don't mention it.
I wonder if they were just trying.
Well, is it not?
Are you crying?
Yes. Hey, was it a result of the waterboarding?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
It could have been a result of
the
waterboarding.
It was like wet and dried out.
Good continuity.
You probably white.
Yeah. That's what happens when you waterboard.
She got that Abu Ghraib do.
Hey!
And it looks Abu great.
That it do.
Nice. I would
great riff.
I'd make her Guantanamo Bay.
Oh my god.
Lane is Guantanamo Bay.
Oh god.
Wait, has that someone has to have done that, like Bay.
Tweet it now.
It's been done.
What's happening?
Oh, we're just finishing on fashion. Is that all you had?
Fashion.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Another one for the books.
Ooh, for the books. Someone's going to write about Gilmore Guys. Gilmore Guys, the one podcast those two guys did before dying in a car crash.
Whoa.
They never even got to finish.
They returned to their home planet.
Can we talk about...
I have to go.
The Gilmore Guys died on their way back to their home planet.
Yes.
I'm Gil. Can we talk about Buff Otis?
Just that name? Just about the character?
Sounds like a... Buff. Like a bouncer at a nightclub.
Yes.
But again, yeah, that character who has like one line.
It sounds like a Key and Peele football name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or something crazy, or like
Western
a...
Western Conference, Buff Otis. Number 32.
Appalachia State University.
Buff Otis.
It's a great name.
There's statistically, you guys have at least one listener right now at Appalachia State University who's losing their shit that I just referenced their tiny school.
Shout out.
Is that a real school?
I think so. I'm like 80% positive.
Okay.
This is the Appalachia State episode.
Okay.
Appalachia
State. Start hollering to them.
Go Fighting Mountains. Or whatever their mascot is.
You think that's
is.
It?
Let's make up a dirty fight song for them.
Yes.
No.
I was about to say, as of us recording this, people have not heard that tragedy that was us recording. Was that 404?
404.
Oh, great. They'll hear it tomorrow then.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a real school.
Any other stray observations?
Taylor describes Hank as the Taylor Dosey of Woodbury, and I'm so upset we didn't get to see him be that Taylor Dosey of Woodbury.
Oh, that he didn't even speak at all. I wonder if they cast a guy, and then they had to cut his scenes for time or something.
I would have even just liked to see him backstage just like, Taylor, good to meet you. Good luck out there. And just like people being like, ugh. Hank.
It's like Devin Banks and Jack Donaghy.
Yeah.
And they just get up in each other's face.
You don't tell me what kind of pizza I like. You don't tell me anything anymore. I would have loved that.
Yeah.
How does Lulu not get annoyed by Kirk going, my boyfriend, or my girlfriend, my girlfriend, my girlfriend? Like, it's cute because we know Kirk, but like...
Maybe it's her first relationship, too.
But no, she was dating his brother.
That's right. Ooh, weird. You caught that.
That's a no-no.
That's
what, the swap?
Yeah. First of all, if you can refer to it as a swap, no.
That's also a no-no.
The baton passing the baton?
The I think when it's brother to brother, it's hand-me-downs.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, shit.
Well, I'm not in support of it. I think that's just what it's called.
Do you think he... No, never mind.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
What?
Do you think she gives him handy-downs?
What?
Handy...
Demi...
I'm so sorry.
Better than this.
God, I should have given the kids the 15-second warning again.
Handy downs?
Well, we've learned a lot about handy downs, about elephants, about...
Is this
overall,
the most explicit episode of the show so far? No, there was the fight song.
Yeah.
Where I just yelled fuck for like 10 seconds.
I can't believe most of that out.
Did you really?
Censorship run amok.
Censorship gone. By the way,
I'm having so much fun.
Jimmy's in shorts and he's just really loving life right now.
I've been wearing sunglasses this entire episode.
It's Memorial Day weekend.
We're having a good time.
You're great.
You are wearing a very like Memorial Day outfit.
Yeah, I'm ready to cue it up to Barbie.
Yeah, I'm stoked.
Cue up the Barbie.
I am. I think I'm gonna go. Yeah.
I like to make plans on air so people know that
I have friends. Yeah, as long as
and
I
give out
make sure
addresses
we're not going in to work, but otherwise,
what's your home address, Jamie?
I actually live at 1600 Hollywood Boulevard.
What?
Is that true?
No. You think I live on Hollywood Boulevard? I wish.
I'm on 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Mm.
Oh,
it's a good house.
Can we bleep that out?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other stray observations? I'm not comfortable with Babette lusting after Gil when she's married to Maury. He's got to be delivering in the bedroom, right?
Oh, if anything.
Maury over-delivers in the bedroom.
Yeah, over-delivers.
Not tonight, sugar. I still... No.
Whoa. Please keep going.
No.
Oh, one other Twitter.
Wait.
Q&A. What?
What? Okay, no. Do the Q&A.
Oh, Gabrielle asked, was Luke just standing in the town square waiting for Lorelai and Suki to walk past so he could rant about how he's not going to fix a table?
Wish he did, and we didn't get... I wish we got to see him go like, I'll fix the table.
Yeah, I was bummed that that happened, like, off screen.
Or if they go, like, generously fixed by Luke, and then they just pan over to him, and he's just like,
I hate everybody.
Yeah, because isn't that... Oh, well, he gets one scene with Luke, or with Nicole. But yeah, I guess he was just standing far away. It's like, oh, so
it's a Luke Light episode,
and I'm gonna complain about the table.
Damn it, table.
What
was the thing you were gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna, maybe that is one reason it's a fan favorite, is because main characters like Luke and Rory and stuff are kind of put to the background, where you get to see a lot of the weird townies, kind of, you know, live out their day in the
it's a big Kirk episode,
big Kirk ep.
It's kind of a big Taylor, not huge Taylor, but you get to see it's a big Miss Patty episode comparatively to her, seeing her running the festival backstage.
True.
I feel like we didn't talk about all the backstage moments either. Like, there's not much discussed, but like the fight,
Judas and Jesus fighting,
the one lady who keeps touching her face and just whips out a lighter like in a second.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
That was so funny. The Renoir girl, like, I didn't realize that she was gonna be the Renoir, like the convincing happening offstage.
That was kind of
off screen,
strange too.
Or off screen.
Oh, that like Rory negotiated too.
Yeah.
This is the first time we've seen Rory conniving at all.
I was like, I'm not on board. Just,
well, he wants me, right? Well, then he's gonna have to get you. Like, it
I'm
was
gonna
a
wait
weird,
until
a sign of the, things to come.
The
perhaps.
Sizing is off. Like, I'm gonna wait until they fit the costume to me, and then I'm gonna. I was like, whoa.
I think this
ruthless.
Is the season where we start seeing Rory become as big a jerk as her mom is.
Hey,
maybe.
Now. Hey, now.
You're an all-star.
And by the way, I do want to say I love Lorelai and I love Rory, but oftentimes, not great people. And that's
sometimes they're
particularly
wrong.
Lorelai.
Yeah.
Why did Lorelai want to be the Renoir girl so much? It seems like not her thing.
It seems like no one's thing, because it seems awful.
Yeah, it seems much ado about nothing, because it is just standing there. I think maybe it's her pride. Or...
For all the complaining they do about the festival sometimes, it really seems like not their thing to do this. I don't know.
My one thing 7 years ago.
Yeah, even their like non-willingness usually to like engage in like weird Stars Hollow things.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like it would just be another thing that they'd be like, they would just hang out at Luke's and like make fun of them through the window or something.
I feel like they participate. I feel like Luke doesn't participate.
Yeah.
You don't think the Gilmore girls actually participate?
No, like, I mean, they participate in like the town itself and, you know, like town meetings and that kind of thing. But it seems like it'd be like, to them, it might be like one of Taylor's like little projects or something that they don't really get involved in. But
maybe it's me projecting. I'm trying to think of an example in which they're like, oh, this festival again or something, because like they participate in the basket stuff. I don't know, maybe it's just because they don't like, they think of Taylor as a big dweeb, but in my head I'm just like, this, like, if they were real people they wouldn't be about this. I don't know, they
that
do love
sense.
The town, but
it is kind of weird that she has such a strong desire to sit still in some makeup again,
which, by the way, they're all very good at. Like, every time they open the curtain,
they're
I was
pretty
like,
amazing.
That's a picture, right? And then, like, they switch to a different angle. I was like, oh, my God, no, that's them.
That's why I won the Emmy, probably.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah.
True.
And then what I was going to say earlier is, if they give Lorelai a pager, why not give one to Bo?
Oh, did Bo not have one?
I assume not, because he, like, his complaint was that he wanted to leave. He couldn't just come back for the bit. Well, I guess.
Well, yeah, but he's there the whole time, so he doesn't need a pager.
Right, but I'm saying, like, why not just give him a pager him when it's like, oh, it's coming soon.
We don't know what their pager budget looks like.
That's true. They can't just, like...
Yeah. And also, he can't be, like, out of state and get paged and be like, it's coming now. And be like, all right, I'll be there in 4 days.
I'm getting flowers.
But I gotta stop in a little town called Pawnee. Leslie, I need something for a new baby. No. I lost
Well, if
it.
You want to have a new baby, you got to work for it.
Who's that?
Leslie.
Hey, man, I can help you.
I'm Tommy Everford. Oh my gosh.
You gonna bring flowers to a baby shower? Nah, what you need is some of this razzle dazzle.
Tommy's Rena swag. That's something Aziz would do all the time on that show. He'd go, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, that's kind of his, that's his vocal tick, yeah. I feel like. Not in a bad way.
Treat yourself.
Da 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 da. Do we see any other Parks people on this show? I'm trying to remember. Other than Biff Yeager, Tom.
Right.
I don't remember. Well, we'll find
out. That's
probably
about it.
Guys, let's rate the episode.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm going to give it... I think it's it might be overrated in the whole canon, the Nick canon of the fandom in general. I feel like it's remembered well just because it's such a fun spectacle.
Yeah.
But on a scene-to-scene basis, it's pleasant, but not... I find some of the Jesus stuff tiresome near the end. At the beginning, it's fun and funny, but then I kind of get tired of it.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. And I love seeing Miss Patty as a stage manager. I love Gil. I love all that. But I didn't care about Lorelai not flinching. I didn't care about Suki and her past with the elephant. So I'm going to give it 7 out of 10. Pinot Renoirs.
Caviar, Myanmar, painting by Renoir.
I feel like you were waiting like an hour to do that.
Yep.
Love it.
You should have had the sound clip ready to go. Actually, I should have just turned on my sound when my dad called me, since that's my ringtone. I liked this episode a lot. I think it was honestly like a flawless episode. I think the writing was really good. Even at the end, like when the pager thing happened, I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that at all.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good little device.
I'm picturing you on your couch with like the pager goes off and you're like, what?
What?
I don't know.
Chekhov's pager. Who thought it?
Chekhov's pager.
True.
But I thought it was really well written. I thought it was super funny. I thought that, oh my God, the line of Kirk going, where are my apostles at when he finds out when he's Jesus? I laughed so hard.
Let's go to Shakey's.
Shakey's. Come on. Let's do it, boys.
It's only 4,000 miles away.
It's
let's go.
Meet you guys in Alabama.
They're going to bond on that road trip.
Yeah.
For 2 days.
Apostles night out.
Judas is not invited.
Apostles. That'll be my bachelor party theme. Apostles night out. Yes. The Last Supper. Dot dot dot. As a single man.
Ooh. Matrix on the way there. Matrix Evolutions on the way back.
Yes.
But I give it 9 out of 10 baby pagers.
That's huge.
It's a flawless episode. I can't give it a 10 because it doesn't like go. It's not like greatest of all time, but it is like by the books a flawless episode.
Interesting,
because I think there's flaws in it.
Yeah.
You think it's like Xena, Warrior Princess. You think it's Lucy, flawless.
I think it's Jessica Chastain. It's Lawless. She was in Lawless.
Oh, okay.
The movie Lawless
with the Even Stevens kid.
I thought you said Foot Lawless.
Foot Lawless. Like,
Foot Lawless. Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely some flaws there. It's a good episode, though. It's a really, like we said before, it's a really good filler episode, which is, you know, not a thing that all shows can do. Sometimes it's, you know, if it's not like a big episode, just kind of nothing happens and you don't really care about it. So I think they did a good job of balancing things out in that regard.
It'd be a fun episode to show someone who's never seen the show before. Right.
Yeah. It's a really good example of what the show is without actually giving anything away about what the show is.
True.
So it's a good one that if you just randomly caught it, you hadn't seen the show before, you'd be like, oh, this seems fun. This seems like a cool, witty little show. I think, you know, I was leaning, originally I was going to give this an 8, but all of a sudden I want to give it a 7. I just want to change it at the last minute from 8 to 7.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Jamie.
I'm just kidding. But no, I think I do think I would give it a 7 out of 10 elephant squirts.
It's too many elephant squirts, if you ask me.
Yep.
No.
That's what Horton Hears a Who is really about.
Oh, Horton hits a home run. Right on target.
Horton hits a who.
Wow.
Wow. Now it's time for a segment we call Where You Tweet.
Oh.
Before we get to that.
Oh.
Whoa.
I was looking through my notes, and there are a few things that I was like, wait a minute. Did Lorelai go to Yale just to hang out with Rory while she does laundry?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, she's eating a salad, so I assume it's her lunch break.
This was before the
what
recession.
Job?
This was before the
does
recession.
She still not have a
oh,
job?
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my gosh.
She's just hanging out.
Oh, are they in between ends right now? Right.
Yeah. Mm. The ins and outs of ends.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Second thing. Andrew, the one of two times we see him talk is when he comes up to Suki and goes, "Oh my god," which is the rudest thing. That was I was like,
"You're huge
wrong
or whatever."
Like,
yeah,
what the fuck is this town where you can just insult people on the street? for not having babies yet.
What a weirdo!
it was her choice. It's like, why have you still not had that? She's like, oh,
actually,
well, I'm waiting.
I'm holding it in. Oh, God.
Waiting for marriage.
It's an emotion.
Waiting for marriage.
Waiting for marriage is dumb. Just kidding. If you want to wait for marriage out there, it's your right. It's your choice to do so. And I salute you.
The last thing was going to be when she shows her the box of baby stuff, she pulls out what she calls John's number, in which some teenager at the hospital hit on her while she was giving birth as a teenager.
Well, have you ever seen a childbirth? It is
classic teenage boy movie.
Deeply erotic. It is like, if you,
I thought we established pretty early on that all that stuff's gross.
Baby's being born.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Never mind. I forgot.
It's just nasty.
That reminds me of sex.
Thank you. Sex is fun. Wait a minute.
I should try to do sex with this lady who's having a baby. I know she's down.
Yeah, I was like, if anything, we know she's good to
go. She's got a good track record.
This is gross.
Oh, that is weird.
All right. Where you tweet?
Where you tweet, I'll follow Jamie. Thank you for joining us. Where can we find you? Oh,
wow. And your podcast. So unexpected. My name, for those that are new, is Jamie Woodham.
And I'm here to say.
Hey!
I was about to say, you didn't say it at the beginning. People have been wondering.
Didn't we? Oh, wow.
Because they're not expecting it, this being the seventh
plot,
episode.
Yeah.
Oh, true. We should have saved the guest intro for the end.
Yep. So, but you guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff at Jay Woodham. It's just JWOODHAM, as in, man, this guy's really cute.
Really handsome.
Really handsome, which, you know, and then you can also, my podcast, which we mentioned, which both of you fine gentlemen have been on, is the Best of Friends podcast, which is about the show Friends. That's why it's called that. And you can just... Nice. You can find us on iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold. I'm just kidding. It's totally free. Please subscribe.
That's what's great.
Wait, what have I been sending you checks for?
Later.
I've been Venmoing you every month for the last 6 months.
You said you didn't have Venmo. You made me write out checks.
Can we come back for the finale? No, I'm not going to invite myself again.
Oh, I thought you were saying, no, I don't want to do that. I was like, whoa.
No. I would love to do it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we'll definitely have you guys back on again. We'll sketch it out.
Sketch it out.
Nice. There we go.
Hell yeah.
And then I think what we've also still been trying to get off the ground this whole time, we need more feedback from your listeners on this.
Damien Jamie?
Yeah. It's the hashtag Date Me podcast.
Yeah.
Still need to get that bad boy up and
running. I would do it. Excuse me. I would do it.
That prepubescent kid outside agreed too.
I would do it.
We really got to work on these mics if they can pick up sound from outside.
There's a gang of 12-year-old boys outside.
I mean, it's impressive
agreeing.
In a way.
It's a good thing we record in a vacuum.
Nice.
You can find me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at ElectroLemon on most social networks, and be sure to watch Other Space on Yahoo Screen.
Not really right now.
Are you in Other Space?
No, it's just very good.
Oh. You're like pitching a show. I'm Jimmy and tuning for the Mad Men finale.
On
blah, blah, blah.
Like, I'm just saying.
Point to the bay.
I'm Gil.
Can you please play I'm Gil one more time?
I'm Gil.
He sounds like a Ninja Turtle.
He sounds like someone pulling the string on a Gil doll.
Pull that string.
The doll's broken.
Here, one more time.
Well, I got dip.
I'm Gil.
Do it again.
I'm Gil.
Lean away from the mic when you laugh.
Sorry.
It hurts.
Can't get that.
Me on Gilmore Girls. It's so wrong. It's right.
Like I was saying, other space on Yahoo screen. It's very funny to watch it. I have nothing to do with the show.
Nice. I've recently been watching Malcolm in the Middle on Netflix.
Yeah, let's plug all the shows we're watching.
Thought that's what we were doing.
You can find Mad Men on Netflix.
Nice.
On AMC. It just recently ended.
I recently just finished The Shield. It's one of my all-time favorite shows.
Oh, yeah. Agent Coulson. Marvel.
Nice.
Superheroes. A lot
no,
of
I meant The Shield.
Right. What I said.
No.
Yeah.
You guys are both saying the same thing.
Yeah.
No.
The Shield. Michael Chiklis is Agent Coulson. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that was loud.
Oh, man.
I'd watch the shit out of that show.
Hydra's coming.
That's the thing, I think.
Hey, Hydra's coming. Hydra wife.
Hydra wife, Hydra kids.
Hydra kids, Hydra wife.
I think we saw in this episode, we found out that Lane is, you know, initiating herself into Hydra in the sink.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Hair Hydra.
It'd be so funny if when we watched it again, you could hear her whisper, Hail Hydra.
Just under the run of like, tss, tss.
Hail Hydra.
I'm Gil.
Why is her hair all frizzy in this next scene?
I'm Gil. Okay, let's leave. Let's go out while we're on top.
If you're out on the road.
I'm Gil. I'm
feeling
Gil.
Lonely and so cold.
I'm Gil. I'm Gil.
All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train.
I'm Gil.
I will follow.
I'm Gil.
Anything that you tell me to.
I'm Gil.
You need me to be with you. I will follow.
Gil.
Where you lead.
I'm Gail, Oprah's best friend.
I'm Gail, a bird.
I'm Gail.
I'm Goal.
Who's Goal? It's what you reach for.
I will follow
where you lead.
I like that song.
I'm glad he likes that song.
Mm. Yeah, if he hated that song, it'd be very awkward.
That'd be a bummer note to end on.
I don't remember what that quote is in reference to.
In reference to Richard Gilmore talking about Cher.
Oh.
yes.
Goodbye.